So as long as it's recording.
Yes, it is.
Good. Good. Because the nice thing about it is we have not yet moved to video, so nobody can body shame us. Microaggressions, boys and girls, deserve micro responses. One of the things you're not going to get from political QRM is a microaggression. When we want to aggress you, son of a gun, you're going to know it. Buckle up and lock and load. We're ready for another exciting edition of Political QRM.
Welcome, everyone, to this latest edition of Political QRM. I'm Ann Marie. Now, the other person is supposed
and
to
I'm
be...
And I'm not.
See? There you go.
Oh, the old Chevy Chase joke worked
yeah.
just fine.
And you're not, yes. But anyway...
And Generalissimo Charles de Gaulle is still dead.
Still yeah. dead, yes. Or we could also do Laughing News. I'm Ann Marie, and I'm reporting from... New Hampshire, and then of course you would say, and I'm Lou, and I'm reporting from Addis Ababa, you know, and you're sitting in the same room. There we go. But
yeah.
We're not sitting in the same room.
It's,
so
yeah, wait, the old Carlin thing. It's 9 o'clock in Chicago. It's 6 o'clock in Baltimore. In where it's 6:42. Time for the 11 o'clock report.
News. You know. Yeah. So. I know. Oh, you know wow. what else? George Carlin.
Else? Yeah, Al Sleet, the hippy dippy weatherman.
Oh, you know? Man. Okay. All right.
With all the hippy dippy weatherman.
Okay. We already got off track here. What is going on here?
Well, you know me. I love to, when we're first starting out, I like to ease people into the fact that we're about
That's
to
true.
You know, slap them in the face and punch them in the gut, you know, kick them in the butt.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to try and do this gradually today, folks. We are. It's just, you know, there's just so much going out there and so much that makes your head spin.
It's July, it's warm, it's humid, you know.
Not here.
I'm gonna take
not,
you in
not with, here. Not yet.
No? Not, what do you got? What do you got?
It's like 82 degrees here, and we probably have about, I'd say 50% humidity right now. It's not bad. Tomorrow, on the other hand, it's supposed to be nasty. At least where I live.
I saw the news from Portland. This morning, and it was very froggy all over the place. And they said it would burn off and be a beautiful day. And I'm sure it is. But you know what? Here, it's a beautiful day. We've probably got about 84.
Mm-hmm.
But the dew point is fairly high. The dew point is like 80. So it's kind of close.
Ooh, nasty, you know, nasty.
You know, it was hot when we lived in Maine. There's no two ways about it. In the summertime, it got hot.
Sure.
But we never really had... You know, the humidity issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the old, you know, the old joke about the two guys robbing the bank. You know, and the cops, you know, show up, and the one robber says to the other, he says, "You better hurry up and crack that safe. It's the heat." And he says, "No, it's the humidity."
I know.
For what it's worth, I got that from Bobby Gunther Walsh, a legend here in this Lehigh Valley radio. It's a nice day. The wife is out. I don't know what she's planting, but she's on schedule. Each thing has to be planted by, you know, this point in the moon and this point in the month, and she's out there doing that, you know, and I can't complain because I've got tomatoes. They're not ripe, you know, they're not even pink yet. We've got bell peppers that are huge, you know, coming along, and zucchinis.
Do you know, I have never, ever been able to grow peppers. I may get one anemic pepper by the end of the season, or maybe two. But I have always had difficulty growing peppers. I can grow anything else. Right now, I've got yellow squash, zucchini, cucumbers. I've got Brussels sprouts. Tomatoes. I mean, everything's going gangbusters out there, but my little pepper plant is just sitting there, so anemic looking, and I'm feeding.
Let me tell you something. So, my father, who learned my father, who learned from his father. First of all, for those who don't know, and I know you do, but some people don't, we're big on the old four R's, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, and repurpose. Mm-hmm. We have an old, from out of the attic, in this 1898 schoolhouse we live in, we have, from out of the attic, we have one of those old, I mean old, I mean ancient, antique, dinosaur, fossil, relic, archaeologists look at this and go, damn, beds.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. And it's not really worth anything. It's a bedspring. It's not like it's, you know, oh, you found this brass headboard that's Victorian. You know, no, it's a bedspring.
Okay, bedspring. I didn't know they made it.
So, yeah, so Debbie took it and put it outside and trained the cucumbers to it.
Wow.
And they're having a ball. Good. I mean, they're just, I mean, you look outside, it's green and yellow. I mean, there's flowers all over the place. There's cucumbers dangling. Aww. It's you know, and it's like, whoa, you know, so that was a good idea, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, when it comes to the garden, you know, my grandpa, Nono, mm-hmm. had a farm underneath, I don't remember the number of the runway at Newark, at EWR, but at one point when it was only two runways, mm-hmm. There were sharecrop farms.
Really?
In that, yes, there were, in that part of Newark. And Grandpop had a sharecrop farm, and all the sons and daughters, you know, all, you know, depending on who was doing what, who was in school, who was working, who was where, who was when, you know, they all worked the farm, and they had an old, and this is directly from my dad the other day because we were down there, mm-hmm. they had an old chain drive Diamond Rio truck with iron wheels with wooden tires that they used to borrow once a week. And they used to put the bushels of the tomatoes and the peppers and the eggplants and the, you know, all that other stuff right. on and take them. They had to give their share to the, you know, to the bison that, you know, got them their
right.
plot. And then they would sell the rest either to the farmer's market or take it home and, you know, the tomatoes make gravy, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So, but one of the things that he taught my father taught me, and of course, God forbid, did not teach Debbie. Of course he taught Debbie because she's the favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, she's more favorite. You know something? If all of us were to drop dead and he could pick one to stay alive, it'd be Debbie. Anyway, so, you know, you talk about a favorite. It's just a mini gun. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but he said, you want to grow peppers? You got one thing you got to remember, and he said, matches.
Matches? You mean sulfur?
Matches. It's the sulfur, it's the phosphorus. And he's talking about the old-fashioned matches.
Yeah.
He's not talking about book. He's talking about the old-fashioned matches. Well, ifofri is what we used to call them, you know, in Italian. And you cut the heads, or not, depending on, you know, how hard you're willing to work. Off of them, and they have, you know, the tip has one chemical in it, and then the head has another chemical in it, mm-hmm. and you put them around, and that's it. They need the phosphorus, and they need the whatever the hell the other chemical is, and they need that, and with the absence of, it's not a question of whether the soil is sweet or the soil is sour. It's a question of they need that particular nutrient. So if you're not careful with your fertilizer, you don't get peppers. You'll get everything else, but you won't get peppers.
Hmm.
Now, okay. I'm not going to sit here and with a pair of pliers and cut the heads off all these matches, you know, so, you know, we find other ways. Right. Same thing with the zucchini. You know, you got the zucchini and, the, you know, every once in a while, like we noticed when the first couple of them formed, we had blossom end rot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Dad said, simple cure. And yeah. I said, what's that? He says, Tums. I said Tums. He says Tums.
Your father has to write a book about this. You realize that?
Seriously. I know. Well, I'm writing it all down.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, I'm not that.
Well, somebody
but,
should. Oh my gosh.
He says Tums.
Tums.
He said because they don't sell a brioski no more. You got to use.
Oh,
the
yes,
Tums.
They do. I can buy brioski
up
here.
Evidently, you can't get it down ashore.
Oh my God! Does he want it? I'll get him some.
I mean, I had it in. I had look. When we lived in Maine, I used to get it all the time because
yeah.
I used to get an agit in the middle of the night you couldn't control. You know, but they used to, he said Tums. Now, he says, don't you just depend on the Tums. He says, grind up eggshells, which, you know, of course you know that. You grind up your eggshells. You don't just throw them in the garbage. You grind up your eggshells. You throw them either in the compost, you throw them in the garden, you know, that kind of thing. You know, eggshells, you can't waste that. So it's a calcium thing. So, son of a gun, you stick a couple of Tums. And we only have them in the house for the once in a while because I tend to use bicarb.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but once in a while...
You need something right away. Now, we only have, like, berry and orange and grape and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter because it's something your zucchini need every anyway. I like that. So you stick the Tums down in the dirt, and you water them, and the next thing you know, all the blossom end rot goes away.
Son of a gun, I have to remember that. Wow. Oof.
You can't make this stuff up. You know, matches, Tums, you know, bed springs.
Hey, if it works, I'm all for it. Are you kidding me? I mean, sometimes something simple, simple things work. You know, I mean...
I'm blessed that I live in an area... Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, come on, you know, it's the...
No, it's the infinite wisdom of the ages coming down.
That's right. Like chicken soup.
Remember? Like chicken soup, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason it's called Jewish penicillin.
It's true because it's true.
I'm not hardcore, but you know, I'm a bit of a Trekkie.
Yeah.
And you know, here it is, 24 something. I don't know, 23 something. You know, AD. You know, right. I'm sorry. ACE or whatever. You know,
whatever.
CE, whatever. And you know, somebody on the Starship Enterprise is sick, and the Scottish lass doctor they've got, you know, can't treat this guy with the hypo spray of this or this or this or this. She brings the guy chicken soup.
Okay.
And it's my grandmother's recipe, chicken soup. Here, drink this, you'll feel better. There are certain things that are immutable, ineffable,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
In our lives. And that knowledge, which I'm blessed. Debbie has actually tried to capture that knowledge, not only from her family, but from mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because she'll be talking. Next thing you know, she disappears off into the other room. And where are you going? She writes it down.
That's good.
She don't want to sit there taking notes, but she goes and writes it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, where were we? I, you know, you get me started on a garden and forget it. You know, I could talk all the afternoon, on a garden.
I know. You know, I've been looking at what's been going on in the world again. And, of course, the media is trying their darndest to bring down Trump. The latest thing that they're using is Trump's poll numbers are down. Satisfaction with him has dropped. And I'll tell you, I don't believe a word of that. Just like I didn't believe when they said that Obama's poll numbers were over 50%. That was never true. Come on.
I don't believe it was ever true.
No. So what's happening here is that they're finding their base... fake news it's crumbling. That's all crumbling.
Same people that told us Hillary was going to be a landslide right up until the 7th of November.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well,
these are the same people who this last week you had Poppy Harlow from CNN. Oh, CNN is taking the cake here. Poppy Harlow from CNN... When Trump was over in France for the Bastille Day celebrations, she said, let's just take a moment and listen to the French national anthem. And they were playing ours.
Playing Star Spangled Banner.
What? Oh, yes. Well, I made a mistake. You know. And then there was another guy later on.
How do you make that mistake? Had you never heard the song before?
I don't know. What is wrong with these people?
How old is Poppy? How old is Poppy?
I don't know, what, 32 or something? I don't know, 30? I don't know.
You know, it's entirely possible.
Has she ever been?
It's entirely possible.
What?
You know, it's entirely possible she never did hear this song before.
Well, wait a minute. If you ever been to a baseball game, a football game, or anything like that, come on. Who said that? Come
well,
on.
Who goes? Look, I go to baseball games. Or,
right,
I'm
but
getting
even
ready
football game, or even something else. I mean, gosh, you know, heavens to Betsy. Yeah, I mean, she's probably. Come on.
My brother-in-law umpires for a minor league, not a minor league,
right,
the
okay.
farm team.
But they always play the national
anthem. So he's
going to
get me tickets. They always play the national. But now, wait a minute. Did this woman not have an opinion on Colin Kaepernick and ergo watched videos where he sat or kneeled or raised his right hand or whatever?
True.
You know,
that is true. That the national anthem. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So that she didn't know that it was not the how do you say that?
Marseillaise.
You know, versus the Star-Spangled Banner?
Marseillaise.
Yeah. But it is entirely possible Marseillaise. She never heard. At 32 years old, she came through the public school system
and
never heard.
I'm taking a guess here. I have no idea. I'm assuming she's at least 30 or something like that. Although, they're getting them younger and younger, and they're giving them more and more responsibility. Well, there was that. And then actually later on that day, you have Jeff Zeleny, who reported and said that, well, we're here, you know, and we're to celebrate Bastille Day, which is the 100th year anniversary of when the United States entered World War I to assist France. What? I saw that on Twitter.
Was he absent?
Oh, man.
Was he absent that day from history?
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I stood there and I went, did he say what I thought he said? Because I initially saw this, Howie Carr tweeted it out. And I said, wait a minute, come on. So I checked it and I saw that and I said, oh, my God. You're stupid. I'm sorry. Both of you are stupid. And you have the damn nerve to sit there and tell us that Trump is committing treason?
Do you remember when they said that the Dr. Martin Luther King statue was missing from the Oval Office?
Yes, I remember that.
Okay.
They accused him of removing it.
Right, and it was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, how about this thing where they looked at, and the angle that this guy was at doing with his selfie stick taking, you know, iPhone photos, and said that, you know, that the president did not shake the hand of the First Lady of Poland.
That was ridiculous.
And the fact that – and then they turn around and start it over, but the whole – pardon the turn of a phrase – the pussy hat thing over the fact that he turned around to Brigitte Macron and said, you know, you're in really good shape. You're a good-looking woman.
So,
and they went nuts. They went crazy nuts cuckoo over the fact that he complimented a woman.
Wow. How miserable.
And my take on that is, if she wasn't wearing a blue dress and he wasn't holding a cigar, it doesn't matter.
There you go.
You know, if she didn't have rug burns on her knees, I don't care what he said to her.
I know. But we're getting off track here, in a way. But
no, it's all combined. It's all
right,
combined.
Okay, but you know,
it's the media with their agenda. That's where we're going with that.
Yep, it's their agenda. And they are pounding away at it, and their numbers are going down. Nobody's watching.
I stopped calling them the mainstream media. I don't call them the fake news media. I don't call them the faux or the ersatz or the spurious or the, you know. I call them the apparatchik media.
Oh, gosh, yes. That's exactly what they are. They're an arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, God, it's like people from the Democratic Party regularly exchange places with people in the Democratic Party as far as and also it was the Obama administration. It was like this lovely little revolving doors. They would come from the Obama administration, they go into the press or they go from the DNC, or the, and they'd go into the press, or the press would go into the Obama administration. So it was,
yeah, exactly.
That's what that is.
Here's the thing.
They're apparatchiks. I know,
coming out of the regency, trying to remember, and I am, I'm really, honestly, I'm trying to remember who coined the term gravitas.
What term? I'm sorry.
But it became gravitas.
You got me.
Somebody said it one time, and it became the word of the day. Mm-hmm. Was gravitas. And then after 43, or the second election of 43, somebody came up with the term political capital. Mm-hmm. And then the other people, you know, have come up with other terms like doubling down. If I hear one more person telling me that somebody's doubling down on something, I can tell you for a fact that they've never been in a casino. Because let me tell you something. Doubling down means you're betting it all now. And if you lose, you're toast. You get one. When you double down in blackjack, sucker, you get one card. And if you bust, you bust. And if you win, you win. But you don't get another card. You can't play for a five-card Charlie if you double down. It's it's win it all or toss it in. That's how double down works. And these people don't ever double down because they've always got a back-out plan. Mm-hmm. So that's that one bothers me. But one of them that I coined a long, long time ago, you know, I look at these people and I say, you know, the heck with gravitas, the heck with, one of the things that I said many years ago, and now it's been making the rounds for the last 6 months, and I don't care that nobody attributes it to me. I really don't. That's not my point. But I said it first. The fourth estate is the new fifth column.
That's true. No, you're right about that. Definitely. I mean, they don't even try to hide their bias.
And the thing is, people don't understand. People don't understand. You know what a fourth estate is, and they don't understand what a fifth column is. But you know, you say it, and it's striking. You know. But that's it. People don't understand. I saw a thing this morning, early this morning. Because you know me, I get up early. Where you know these people are pushing, you know, these millennials and these Generation Z people are socialism, and they can't define it.
That's right.
And it's the same thing. It's the same thing at every level. You get up there and you talk to people, and you say, "Well, what is it about, you know, the Trump Jr. meeting? What is it about, you know, the president? What is it about, you know, these people?" And they cannot tell, they cannot elucidate to you what it is. They just know they're pissed off.
Well, the thing is that the only thing they can do is they can repeat the talking points, but they don't have any evidence to back them up.
They don't understand.
No, that's true. They don't
the talking
understand.
Point.
They don't understand the talking point. They're just repeating it.
It's, right.
You know, and then today's latest phrase is, and everybody picks
right.
up on
and
it.
And if you argue with them, all they do is repeat the talking point louder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute. Tell me what you mean. You're telling me this. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Okay, explain it. So they just repeat it. No. What does it mean? To you, to me, to the American people, to the world.
They won't be
what
able to
does
answer.
It mean? Well, you know.
They won't be able to
they
answer
can't.
That. They can't. Because they do can't. Not know anything about the subject matter. All they know is talking points about a subject matter. But they've done no reading. They don't know why socialism is bad for this country. They can't even say why it's good for this country, except the tired old refrain that it, you know, it takes all the money and redistributes it to everybody, which is, you know, let's think about that, because, you know, after a while, keep redistributing money, there's not going to be any money to distribute out to people, because after a while, the money makers are going to stop saying, they're going to say, forget it. I'm not going to make money.
Margaret Thatcher said that the big problem with socialism is eventually you run out of everybody else's money.
That's true.
You know, but you know, when you look at it and you say, you know, come on, engage me here.
Mm-hmm. They can't engage.
They can't.
No, their idea of engagement is getting in your face, screaming, accusing you of whatever, you know, they're told to accuse, you know, Americans of at this time. They also do not have an understanding of much. They don't. These people don't. They're
Christina
just being used.
Christina Hoff Sommers, who is known as the factual feminist, if you want to look her up, Christina Hoff Sommers, and she's a friend of Milo and Mark Dice and...
is that the one, the real young girl? She's young.
No, God, no. She's an elder statesman professor.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's a babe, but, you know, she's in her 50s or 60s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. She was a feminist back in the 60s and into the 70s. And this, but she's a feminist, not a third wave radical feminist. And, you know, she published the thing, put something up on Twitter. That's, you know, it's so pertinent that the tolerant... The people out there with the signs screaming tolerance are the least tolerant people you'll ever meet.
You know what their idea of tolerance is? You roll over. That's what their idea of tolerance. You roll over and you allow them and the people that they support walk all over you. That's what their idea of tolerance is. You are not allowed to stand up for your beliefs. You're not allowed to stand up for morality. No. The only thing that they want is for
everything
you to
I believe, everything I believe should be enacted into law, and everything you believe should be banned.
That's right. And that's their idea of free speech.
And if I say it, it's free speech. And if you say it, it's hate speech.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I think
that's what their idea is. Yeah, we speak; it's hate speech.
I might be off by a little bit here. I might be off. I don't think by miles. I don't think by yards. I think by millimeters. I might be off, but I think the American people have just about had it with that.
Just about.
Because I saw a picture. From I don't remember which university it was from, and it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter.
No,
of the students for democratic socialism, and they posed for a group photo, you know, and they all had their, you know, their right fist raised, you know, this thing, I think. And there must have been 50 people in this photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I said the university doesn't matter, you know, etc. And I'm looking, and I see all these fresh-faced, scrub-faced, you know, Clearasil kids. You know, this should have been a Clearasil ad, you know, more than a political statement. And they're all sitting there, and they all have their fists raised, and I look, and I see a couple of people there that are, like, in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, maybe, just not guaranteeing anything, but maybe... Those two people have actually spent a moment in an airport in a socialist country. Not saying they went out amongst the hue and cry, but maybe passed through an airport in Venezuela, you know, or you know, Colombia, or
it's possible they could have, you know
but it's
to the
possible.
Yeah,
you know. You know, back in the day when they, you know, their Birkenstocks and their tie-dye, they may have been somewhere where it was
maybe.
Socialist.
And it's not a paradise.
But
there's no socialist paradise.
Right, but these kids that want this quote-unquote democratic socialism, which I'm sorry, I don't get, you could put anything in front, democratic socialism, Amish socialism. You know, Buddhist social, you know, Nazi socialism, any descriptor in front of it you care to put, you can put, but in the meantime, it all boils down to socialism, and these people don't know what it means, and they've never been there. I think every single I think, you know something? I think we should put a special tax on the rich.
For what?
You know, I don't know, 1/100th of 1% or whatever it is, that goes to buying airplane tickets for every member of every university's Students for Democratic Socialism to go spend 30 days in a socialist country, but just drop them there.
You know what? I would just...
Not from a hotel room and three meals a day and,
no,
you know, honor bar.
What I would like to do is just...
Drop them there.
No, I would like them just to get a one-way ticket. If they feel that strongly for socialism and they're not happy here, please, there are many socialist countries out there. Go, enjoy, God bless.
No, I'm saying make sure they got a round-trip ticket so they can come back and go, gee, Willikers, oh, my God, that place is a mess.
Sorry.
Oh, man, I was wrong. Holy cow.
No, because let me tell you what socialists and communists who are both committed to the cause say. It'll be different if we have it here. That's why socialism and communism continue to be tried throughout the world, because there's always somebody who says it'll be different if we do it here.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Because I remember a graphic saying, you know, my social sciences professor tells me that it would be different if we tried it here. It'll work here. It didn't work in the third world, but it'll work here.
Exactly.
You know, wake up, Buenos Aires. You know,
I mean, come on, guys. You know, it's not going to work. Never has worked, never will work. Because human
for
nature
those people
is
don't
just...
know, that was, for those who don't know, that was a line from Evita. You know. Look! That reminds me.
What?
Somebody said something about the Pope on Twitter the other day.
Oh,
you
don't
know,
even
because
get
he
started
was
with
critical.
The Pope.
He was critical of something the president did, and I said, well...
No, he was critical of the president, period. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, he's been critical of the president since before the election, but he said something the other day, and I don't remember what it was, and it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I replied to the... You know, I try and measure whether or not I'm on the right or wrong side of an issue by the number of retweets and... number of reposts and reminds, depending on the platform, you know, likes, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what do you expect from His Holiness Juan Perón?
That's true. He's a Peronista. He is.
And I watched, and the likes kept going clink, 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 clink. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I do?
He recently made a comment. He said, well, you know, we really can't talk about Islamic violence because there has been Christian violence in the past. And he specifically pointed out a man who beat his wife. That's got nothing to do with what the Muslims are doing. The Muslims are basing it on dogma, for God's sake. This guy was just an idiot. He was Catholic and he was beating the crap out of his wife. Your Holiness.
I'm not justifying, I'm not condoning, I'm not any of that kind of a stuff towards the person who was beating his wife. But here's the thing. You would think by the time you're Pope, you would understand the history of not only the world, or not only the Holy Mother Church, but the world. You would think that you'd understand the fact that the Crusades were X number of people versus X number of people. It was X number of years ago. It was this, it was that, it was the other thing. And it doesn't apply to the fact that just the other day, you know, between Paris, let me do my M impersonation. New York, London, Paris, Munich, you know, everybody talk about Islamic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it the other day you talked?
What,
you
in
said
Paris?
Something about 90 cops?
No. What happened was that it was in Paris. And 300 cars were, I take that back. 13 police were wounded, 900 cars burned, and several episodes.
Burned.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it was, ridiculous. A new Muslim uprising in France. And it was from the 14th to the 15th of July in Severin, I can't even say this, Saint-Denis. Police officer was beaten during an intervention. Was beaten during an intervention before using his weapon 8 times to clear himself, and he hurt an 18-year-old man. So, what happened was is that I guess all these little hoodlums got upset about it, so they decided to destroy the area. Interesting, huh?
Wait, it's an 18-year-old poor orphan with a poor widow mother.
Yeah. Yeah, well, who's still in whatever country he came from, right? Oh, my gosh. It's just amazing. So basically, this happens. No, wait a minute. This happens in France, and it's continuing to happen. The French are doing nothing. The French people are doing nothing. You know, these are the same people that tried to defeat the Nazis when they were occupied during World War II. I mean, yes, you also had the communists try to do it, too. They were doing it for a different reason, but at least both groups hated the Nazis and wanted them out of their country. This is ridiculous. Have they gotten that, I don't know, weak? That they can't? I mean, the fact that they did not vote in Le Pen and they voted in Macron, I mean, that's, you wonder, what is wrong with you? I mean, seriously.
Well, you know, now, by the same time, this is not unusual. You know, we've got Macron, we've got Merkel, we've got, you know, what's his name in Belgium, in charge of the EU. We've got Trudeau, and Trudeau did what he could to make nice with the president. Mm-hmm. But you know that he was just standing there being, you know something, you know what, you know who Trudeau reminds me of? Paul Ryan.
Yes.
Standing there smiling,
yes,
you know, and not being a damn thing and not have a clue what's going on. Just be there and smile and enjoy yourself, you know, kind of a thing. And it's like, in the meantime, I watch some of the stuff coming out of Canada through Rebel Media and other sources. And this guy's a jooch.
He is. How long is the term up there? Do you know?
From what I recall, last time I looked, he's got 2 more years.
They better have somebody to run against him that can.
Win. I might be wrong. He may have 15 minutes. Please, you know what? Comment. Correct me, please. Comment and tell me I'm wrong because. You know, the memory is the second thing that goes.
And the first,
you know, when you get to be my age.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Huh? What's the first?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, you go.
But the, you know, in the meantime, I think he's got a while yet. But, you know, Macron was just elected.
I know.
You know, they just had that vote of confidence with May and I'm sorry, but Merkel is starting to look not so much a shoo-in, but not likely to lose.
That's true. I think she's going to get reelected. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I don't understand why. I mean, their country is falling apart.
Yes, but in the meantime.
Yeah.
There are rumors in places that do not begin with WWW.
Mm-hmm.
That the polls are taking America's lead in relaxing firearms regulations.
Well, that's good. But that's not where they really need it. Where they need it is in France. Now, wait a minute. I did see a report. I did see a report on Pamela Geller the other day in which she mentioned that peripheral French people are getting to the point where they're going to start joining militias because...
The people in the mountains.
Yeah, yep. Because they're getting very upset with the politicians. They're not helping them. They're ignoring them. They're charging them with Islamophobia.
And a non-rumor,
mm-hmm.
and actually out there in the media, in the international media, is the fact that the Czech Republic actually has legislation before their I don't recall what it's called, the parliament, Congress, whatever, to relax 30 and 40 and 50 year old firearm control legislation to allow Czech Republic natural citizens to obtain and learn how to use and use firearms.
I agree. Because you know darn well they're going to try and get into the country.
Yep. It's tougher in France to get a firearm. But as soon as they hit the shelves, you know, if I were on a gun store in, I don't know, Calais or Nice or, you know, Marseille or wherever, and I got a shipment of guns, by the time the next guy walks in the door, the ones I already had are gone, and he's got to wait a week until the next shipment comes in. You know, and it's not easy. And now, you know, there's actual members of parliament in England, because the bobbies are saying, give us a gun. We won't have to run from London Bridge if we have a gun. And wait for an armed response unit to get there, you know, because, and it's true. Look, I don't care what anybody feels. I believe this. When seconds count, the cops are only minutes away.
Exactly. No, you're right on that point.
And, you know, I mean, it's like, well, you know, it really didn't matter because, you know, they were there in 8 minutes. I said, tell that to the girl, the 15-year-old girl who died, you know, 2 minutes before they got there. Tell it to her family.
That's right.
Why the bobbies that were there could not prevent the guy from stabbing her the 17th time.
Yeah. I know.
You know, or why a citizen in the UK, you know, a legitimate, you know, bona fide, you know, certifiably sane, you know, trained, you know, with at least the basic NRA training that we have here in the United States, you know, person could not have stopped that person from stabbing her the seventh time, let alone the 15th time by the time the armed response unit got there. I think Europe has had it. When they tell us, and you've got this story, when they tell us that the president is not well received and he's hurting the image of America overseas.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. Well, that's according to the media. That's according to the leftist media and the leftist politicians. But it,
Well, who is the leftist politician in question?
The people, the regular people in Britain. Actually, I think
I'm talking about the ethics dude, the big, without body shaming, the guy who never passed the buffet.
Yeah, the guy who just left the ethics office in, he's the federal government's top ethics chief is resigning on Wednesday. His name is Walter M. Schaub, Jr., director of the Office of Government Ethics. And he had an interview with the New York Times. And he said that basically that President Trump's apparent disdain for long-established ethical norms has undermined the credibility of the United States around the world. Now, this guy has been a vocal critic of Trump. He has criticized him for openly for going to his own golf courses in New Jersey and in Florida.
And Mar-a-Lago.
And he's saying that by him going there, that there were a microcosm of just how blurry the line between the White House and the Trump brand has become. You know, it says, and then he says, listen to this, though. This sentence really gets me. He says, it creates the appearance of profiting from the presidency. Excuse me? You know who profited from the presidency? Try Barack Obama. He just paid, what, $8.5 million for a house in D.C.? Oh, my gosh. Well, where did he make it back?
Let's go
How
back
about Hillary
to,
Clinton?
Let's go back to...
And Bubba.
Let's go back to... Let's stay with Barack Obama. When he wanted to play golf, and he went to Honolulu...
Yep.
Did he own the hotel where it was so he had to pay, you know, every night room rent and stuff like
That's
that? No,
right.
He still had to pay every night. We had to pay every night room rent for him and his family and his Secret Service.
And
Donald
his
Trump owns
in-laws.
Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump owns Bedminster.
Mm-hmm. So he's actually saving
he didn't have
money.
To. He didn't have to pay Vic.
Nope.
You know, I mean, he may, you know, all right, the United States government, that ergo us, we may have had to pay for the Secret Service contingent.
Course,
we may
have
had
to
pay for, you
we
know,
always have to.
But
yes.
We didn't have to pay for him. He owns the joint.
I know.
You think the American people got a bill for every night that the president stayed in his own hotel?
And yet, you do know that the media is reporting that Donald Trump has already spent more money on travel than Barack Obama did in his 8 years of office. Now, you want to talk about fake news? You want to talk about fake news?
No, I can't. No. This isn't even fake news. This is fantasy land.
It's fantasy land. It's lying. Let's face it. It's just out and out lying. They're hoping people
going to say fantasy land only because, you know, I'm being polite. This is a bald-faced lie.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama spent more in his 8 years than, like, what, four presidents before him combined?
Yeah.
On personal travel to get away? You know, how many times something bad happened, and the next thing you know, he's, you know, off on a golf course waving at the cameras.
Okay, one more thing about this guy, Walter Schaub. He was supposed to take any concerns that he had to the White House, and he never did. He just went out to the New York Times, cried his eyes out, and said how horrible things are now that Trump is in. So I'm glad he's leaving. Wednesday's his last day. And, you know, his insistence that we're now a laughingstock throughout the world is falling on deaf ears because we were a laughingstock.
Be honest with you, will stop short of what I usually say, and I do hope the door hits somewhere the good Lord split him.
There you go. You know, for him to say that, I mean, they're just, you made me lose my train of thought. He was, talk about standing in the world. I mean, you know, Obama really didn't do much for our standing in the world. And, you know, darn well Hillary didn't either as Secretary of State. I mean, she couldn't even get the damn Russian word right for reset. They don't have any linguists in the State Department. I'll tell you when she did that.
She did bring Obama's reset button over there and hand it to, you know, to Putin.
Lavrov.
You know,
no,
she
it wasn't
did.
Putin. It was
she did carry it.
It was the foreign minister. Lavrov.
I'm sorry.
Lavrov. No.
Lavrov.
But
she did do it. You know.
But it had the wrong word on it.
Oh, see, I couldn't tell. You can tell because you read Cyrillic.
No, but that was the report, too. It had the wrong word on it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Don't they have linguists at the State Department? Don't they have a Russian dictionary at the State Department? You can look it up, and you can get the right form of the word that you need for reset. And no, they didn't. So I was like, oh, my God,
please,
how embarrassing.
Please tell me it didn't say something like, you know, cream pie in the face
or
something.
No, what
it was
a different form. There were two words. One was peregruska and perezagruska. It should have been perezagruska instead of peregruska. Peregruska means like, a complete turnover of things. Like a teardown. So...
Okay.
So instead of a reset.
What does reset mean?
Reset. She wanted to say reset, and they put the wrong word, which had of course, it was the perfect meaning for the Russians, but.
They were shaking her hand going, you stupid
idiot. Yeah, I know. So, we have that going on. But speaking of the Clintons, there was a former Haitian official, Klaus Eberwein, who was supposed to come in and testify against the Clintons.
Testify? Yes. Testify?
Yeah. Testify against Clinton Foundation corruption and malpractice. He's been...
Oh, corruption. Oh.
Corruption, yes. Yes, it was against the Clinton Foundation. Don't forget, he was, you know, Haiti. Jeez, the Clinton Foundation went there and was supposed to do all these wonderful things after the natural disasters down there. And they just basically drained the country of its life's blood in so many ways. So anyway, this man was 50 years old, and he was found dead in a Miami hotel room via gunshot wound to the head. And they're ruling it as suicide. But he had said to friends of his that he feared for his life. I don't believe he killed himself.
Well, we just saw today, a public relations firm dude who was evidently one of the friends of DT Jr., who I guess was complicit in the famous meeting with Natalia, and don't ask me to do the last name. I gather he was one of the ones who said, hey, she's got dirt on Hillary. And now he's concerned. And he actually has told people, his family and friends and his firm that he works for, that if I turn up dead, it's not suicide.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, considering, you know, his proximity to, you know, the whole Trump Jr., Trump Tower meeting thing. You know, if I turn up dead, it's not suicide. Well, you know something? A lot of people will turn around and say, well, you know, that's his perfect reason to commit suicide, you know, because now he's told everybody and it, fly in the ointment.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. No, I don't. I'm having a hard time with that. You know, there's something, and I don't mean in the critical thinking part or the, you know, partisan part. There's something inside me as a human that says, no.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a smokescreen for a guy that wants to kill himself. This is a guy saying, you know something? I'm concerned. I mean, let's go all the way back to Vince Foster. I mean, these people keep dying. You know, I've been to
Haiti. What about
Haiti.
Seth Rich?
Seth Rich, you know, that's more recent yet. You know, mm-hmm. These people keep dying. And what do they have? I don't know. What's the bottom line? What's the nexus of all of these things?
You
know, I have to think critically this stuff, you know. I mean,
okay.
This is what
of
I
course.
Do, you know, think critically.
Lay everything out.
You know,
Luke.
So I'm looking.
Lay everything out.
I weigh everything out, and I look for the nexus, you know, and I'm like, gee, I don't know. The only two words I can come up with are Clinton Foundation.
Okay. Of course, I say Bill and Hillary, but you know.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, but
ever since,
you know, I've been. To, as a matter of fact, one of my biggest, deepest, heartbreaking issues in my life, you know, was. You know, the fact that there were so many things, whether it was the earthquakes in Haiti, mm-hmm. you know, or, help me.
Wasn't there a hurricane?
Because I've been there eight times. Well, hurricanes hit the entire neighborhood, and they come and they go, and everybody's fine, you know, but usually. not Montenegro. What was the
where?
The volcano.
I don't know. They're going all over the place. There's one in Hawaii. There's one.
Yeah, but I'm saying in the Caribbean and in these things, because I spent a lot of time in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And these things matter to me. Whether it's in Dominica, whether it's in Haiti, whether it's in Cayman, whether it's in the Bahamas, the Lesser Antilles. These things matter to me. Jamaica. And to see the way the Haitian people suffered.
Oh, gosh.
Was bad enough. I had a hard time, and unfortunately, because of the fact that I'm a cripple,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to do anything more than, donate $5 or whatever here and 10 here and 25 there, that's all I could do, because my old me would have been on an aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But to see it, not so much that, the corruption and and money was transferred and stuff and it didn't happen, but to see what was left over by that corruption and watch what took place down there and the starvation and people are always trying to pass legislation up here. People, in Chicago and stuff because of the gun violence and this and the other thing. Oh, think of the children, think of the children. And I to watch children die while people get rich.
I know.
Isn't this exactly what the left preaches?
That's right.
Think of the children. Yep,
that's the battle cry.
Think of the children. And they preach this. And when the children aren't taken care of, they say, Russia!
Yeah, exactly. Squirrel.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. It goes the same way. It goes the same way. Wait. It goes the same way.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about, the evils of what's going on in Germany and England and France and this and anything, we have to let more people in. But think of the children. But the problem is there aren't any children.
That's true. Very few children. They always put in the little bit here and there. And that's where the cameras go to. And that's where the reporters go to. And that's where, their pictures are plastered all over the place. Look at the children coming here. Oh, their parents are so happy that they're here. And the rest of them are all males, 18 to 35 and older, who are in great shape. So,
18 to 40, mm-hmm. Battle-aged, able-bodied, and they show these pictures off the coast of Italy, and they show these pictures mm-hmm. of, and there is now a big movement, and it's being privately funded.
Mm-hmm.
Of these ships that run between what do they call them, non-governmental organizations that they quote unquote rescue these boats of refugees, which is amazing because they've got these great big boats and everybody in them is wearing a life preserver.
Interesting.
Every one of them is wearing a life jacket. And they're all wearing these orange life vests, and they get picked up by these non-governmental organizations that pick them up off the Libyan coast and bring them to Italy. And and it's funny because there's always one widow and one orphan on there at the bow of the boat.
That's what I'm saying.
That they get the picture of.
And the rest of them are all
male. Well, there's a new organization that's privately funded, and people can go, I'm sure if they Google it, they can find it and they can donate to it. And that's not my business from here, mm-hmm. But now they turn around and they say, okay, here's this boat full of 55 people. We've got one widow and one orphan, and the rest of them are all able-bodied, combat-aged men. And somehow they got here in a perfectly serviceable boat, in perfectly serviceable Mae West vests.
Yep.
That's so true. We're going to just take them home.
Yeah.
And we're just going to take them back. We're going to interfere with the non-governmental organizations. We're going to just grab these guys. We're going to give them medical care. We're going to check them out. And we're going to, and then we're going to take them back to Libya and drop them off.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Or we're going to take them back to Eritrea and drop them off. Or we're going to take them back to Ethiopia or Somalia or wherever they came from. And we're going to drop them off. And if they want to try again, we'll do the same thing.
Yeah, you know, the thing is
because
that...
now...
Go ahead.
No, now the Italians are saying, we're going to send them back. We're going to have a mass deportation. And the EU is furious.
Well, you know what? EU, tough. It's one thing you have to look at this from the perspective that Islam does not respect women. It never has. To them, the Muslim male uses the woman for whatever purpose, whether it's being a housemaid, whether it's being a sex partner. Oh, by the way, when they talk about sex partner, they don't care what age the woman is. Because if you've seen how many young men in Germany are raping women in their 70s and all the way up to 90. To them, a woman is just
well,
a
Muhammad,
tool.
Muhammad had a concubine that was 9 years old.
Well, no, it wasn't his concubine. It was his wife. He married her when she was 6, and then he consummated the marriage when she was 9. Disgusting. So you take a look at the fact that all these men are leaving and they're coming to Europe. They don't respect women. They're leaving their women there, if they have any. And, well, they're leaving women and children there. And they're coming. They're an invasion force. I think that we've said so much about that, you know.
No, yeah.
But I think a lot of people are starting to get it in Europe. Except a few that I know in Europe who still think that. These poor little Muslims.
We have said a lot about it, but I'll be honest with you, I don't believe we've said enough about it. Because...
Why?
The Finns... Now, think about it. Of all the Scandinavian and Low Countries, who are the most indomitable?
I don't know. The Finns. Okay.
The Danish, the Swedes, the Norwegians, even during Hitler's campaigns, who beat his ass back? The Finns. The Finns, even though they've taken on what the EU decided that they want them to have, but the Finns have turned around and said, you know what, if you want to live here and you want to assimilate, fine. If you don't want to assimilate, that's fine too. We have no problem. But if you want to assimilate and have Korea zones in this corner, don't you come one block closer. Because you're going to find armed Finns saying, this is where you're...
Wait a minute. No. No, I have to correct you on that. During World War II, they were against the Soviets. And actually, they were fighting.
No, you're right. They were against the Soviets.
Because the Soviet Union attacked them a number of times.
But he never got the foothold that you would expect.
He treated the Finns
considering
really good.
Considering they would have been against the Stalin... You would think that Hitler would have been able to just walk in the door. Now, okay. I understand there were two, at least, that we know about because of movies that were made post-war. There were at least two heavy water plants in Finland, you know, which would have led to a Nazi nuclear weapon. But the Finn spirit... is indomitable. The problem I have with the Finn spirit is the problem I have with the Finn spirit is they're reactionary, which is why they ended up on the side of the Nazis as opposed to the Soviets.
And the thing is that they were always under attack one way or another by the Soviets. The Soviets tried to do the same. The Soviets tried to do the same thing that the Nazis did to Austria when they talk about the Anschluss, where they went in there to take over Austria because of the Germans that were in there. So basically, the Soviets were trying to do the same thing for Finns because they said there were a bunch of Soviets in there.
The thing with the Finns is, you know, they sided with, you know, the Third Reich, but yet
they did, yes.
If
they allowed them to stage attacks into the Soviet Union,
because they had been under attack from
that's right,
Peter the Great.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about in the 30s too.
Oh no, I'm talking about before that. They were under attack from Peter the Great. You know,
earlier.
You know, but had they been able to turn around and say, okay, well, that's done. We got that under control. Now they would have turned, because of their indomitable spirit, they would have turned around and said to Adolf Hitler, well, you know what, we're done with you too. And he would have attacked and they would have beat him away.
Without getting into the
Battle of Petrograd, you know,
You think the Finns are going to start going against Muslims, Islam?
I'll tell you why I believe that.
Okay.
Because there are two Finns that I have, and I have actually eliminated from my follow stream.
Why?
Because I don't want any association whatsoever. Because they have gone so far off that the banners and patches and stuff that they wear are red, white, and black. And while they don't wear the crooked cross.
Ooh. Well, I don't know what to tell you. This is what happens when you have a weak government and you allow an invasion force, such as the Muslims, come in and take over your country. You're going to have pockets of these people who are going to gather together and they're going to try and fight back. Unfortunately, the only real example that they have in recent history is Hitler and his organization.
You're right on this. Oh, yeah.
I agree with you. You should have gotten rid of him.
What kills me is the fact that the reaction to the Muslims has been so mild across the EU that where the reactionary people to the Muslims in anything north of the Alps are using black and red and white, and again, since they don't use the crooked cross, but they use six or eight legged crooked crosses or diamonds or, you know, any combination thereof, but it's a red flag with a white circle, and
doesn't
matter what you put in the middle of it.
Yes, I know. The intention is clear. The symbolism is clear. I agree with you on that. But so let me ask you a question then. What do you think? Where do you think it's going to start? Where do you think? I have to say, use the term opening salvo. Where do you think that's going to start?
France.
You think
France?
So? Okay.
Yeah.
You think Germany is going to buckle under completely?
No. I think it'll spread. But it has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Look, it had to start at Fort Sumter. It had to start at Bunker Hill.
True.
It had to start at Huey. It had to start at Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, there's a movie coming out about Dunkirk. I hear it's very, very good. I think it's coming at the end of this month.
I hadn't even heard.
It's called Dunkirk. It's called Dunkirk. Yeah. It's going to go in the theater. I know. It could have been called something else, but I want to go see it. I want to go see that. So you're right on that point. Yeah.
You know, I haven't been in a theater.
I'll just wait till it comes out on video or whatever.
No. With the exception of the Disney movies I had to take my granddaughter to.
I haven't. Actually, jeez.
Yeah. I haven't been in a theater to watch a movie for myself since The Green Berets with John Wayne. You know,
well, you know what? We go, like, when the new Star Trek's come out, or Star Wars, because it's really cool to go one of those IMAX theaters. I mean, the sound quality and the, you know, the picture is just so amazing.
I love it. So I love it.
What,
you know, as
what
I
we
said
do is
earlier,
we go during the week while the kids are in school. Well, all kids are in school.
Well, as I said earlier, I'm a bit of a Trekkie, but I've never really gotten into, whether they're canon or not, I've never really gotten into the Star Trek movies.
Oh, okay.
I saw one or two of them, you know, on whether it was HBO or Netflix or whatever. I saw one or two of them, the early ones with Jim Kirk was still alive and that kind of thing. But I was never into the movies. I was never... as a matter of fact, it's only recently I actually started watching Voyager, and only because that woman's voice annoys the Christmas out of me.
Really? I've always liked her voice. Yeah. Oh, well.
No, it just, I just, it,
I guess
it's
just
like
hits
Alvin
your eardrums
chipmunk.
Wrong. Yeah, I just.
Alvin the Chipmunk saying, you know, evasive maneuvers, Mr. Chakotay. I mean, like, I just can't.
I liked her. Do you know for that role, originally, the actress who was supposed to play her was, oh gosh, it was a French actress, French name, and I cannot remember the name. I can picture her too. Oh my gosh,
the only,
jeez,
the only French actress I can name is Catherine Deneuve.
Not Catherine Deneuve. No. Oh my god, I'm saying it's a French name. I don't know if she's a French actress per se, but she's, Oh,
I can find out. I can find
Hang
out.
Hang on.
I can
Let
find
me do
out.
It.
Hold on.
Voyager. Here we go. Wait a minute. Dun, dun, dun. Genevieve Bujold. Yes, it was supposed to be Genevieve Bujold.
Oh, my God. Wait. No, no, no.
French-Canadian actress.
Bujold.
I was right. Bujold.
Genevieve Bujold. She was in Coma.
I do not know.
Do you remember Coma?
I do not know.
In the late 70s, that was Genevieve Bujold.
Really?
Then she
did it for about a day and a half and said, I don't think so. Seriously.
Now, if you had said, you know, Juliette Binoche.
Oh.
You know,
well,
as
young
French
then.
Actress,
Come on.
Juliette Binoche is not. She's your age.
No, really, Juliette Binoche? No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Juliette
Binoche.
Yeah, she is your age. I'm telling you. If I'm lying, I'm dying, and I'm not dead. That as it may, you know, I'm a Trekkie, but I'm not into the movies. I'm Star Wars, but I'm into the first three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a Batman, and I'm not a Green Lantern, and I'm not a Flash,
no,
and I'm not a Wolverine.
I'll watch them, but I'm not a real fan. I just like the action.
No, I'm not even. I don't watch them. You know, I've got there's too many David Attenborough shows I haven't seen yet to waste time with that. But I do like my Star Trek, and I think I watched one recently. I'd watched it a couple of times before, and it was Captain Picard.
I really didn't like that one. I didn't.
Wait, not the movie, the show.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I watched it
and
every week with my husband, but I didn't like it.
And he had just recovered from the Borg issue.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very similar. There's a lot going on between the Borg, Islam, and the Soviets here.
Mm-hmm.
But he had just recovered from the Borg issue, and he went to his home in a village in France and visited with his brother, his sister-in-law, their child. And, you know, he just had to get back to Earth. He had to get back to the dirt, the soil, the ground, the grapes, the wine, and this is what he had to get back to. And when I watched it, I was just, and I'm not French. I don't, you know, something, you know what, 30 generations ago, there might be a Frenchman in my woodpile somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Only because of, you know, Napoleon or what have you, you know. But other than that, no, my family's nothing but a bunch of peasants from central Italy, you know. Mm-hmm. But I could identify. But I could identify with that. And this is it. This is the point. I don't watch all these, you know, stray movies and stuff like that. But when you get down to the core, the canon of Star Trek, you get down to the canon of humanity. And the canon of humanity says that there's room for everybody except those people that would destroy that canon. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in Star Trek, it was things like the Romulans. In Star Trek, it was things like the Ferengi. In Star Trek, it was, you know, things like the who? Yeah. And the, what was that other one they used to have with the weird teeth? You know, that kind of thing. But that's it. Mm-hmm. Those few detractors.
Right.
Ruined it. They ruined it. It was like those few detractors got all the press. They got all the media. They got all the, you know, all that stuff going on. And here we are holding on dearly to what we believe and holding on dearly to what we hold honorable and decent and just and right. Mm-hmm. But we're allowing the few, the very doggone few. You know, one planet in some system is ruining it for, 12 other planets. You know, one system in 153 systems that form the United Federation of Planets, one system is being a pain in the ass. And that's what we're up against. We're up against the fact that we've got, you know, the EU. We're running up against the fact that we've got Angela Merkel. We've got running up against the fact that we've got Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, this is, I think, it's going to be a battle between good and evil. It's as simple as that. You have people out there who want to have a globalist agenda, who want to dictate.
Good and evil.
Dictate, because globalism to me is bad. Because it takes away exactly what our founders wanted us to do, and what they wanted this country to be, you know, endowed by his creator.
Forth a new nation.
Yes.
Not a new member of some conglomeration.
That's right.
A new nation.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you have the EU, you have Merkel, you have all those liberal progressives. They are all for sitting on the little guy while they rule and telling the little guy they have to act this way. They have to only get this much while everything else is redistributed. Oh, and by the way, all of it will be redistributed to people who will be faithful to those at the top and carry out their dirty work while you are trying to eke out a living. So I think what's going to happen, it's going to happen, and I think it's, and I believe you, and I will bet you too, it's going to start in France, because they're really getting upset. Don't forget, France had the enemy on their soil in World War II.
The Swiss are not worried. The Swiss are not worried.
Why not?
Because 3 out of 4 people in Switzerland have a firearm.
Oh, I did not know that. I know Sweden have
problems. When you are 18 in Switzerland, you are in the military, just like in Israel. Mm-hmm. You become a part of the military. You are issued a weapon. You spend your 2 years and you take your weapon home. 3 out of 4 homes in Switzerland own a firearm. Mm-hmm. And they don't have these weird California legislation things saying you can only have 5 rounds, 10 rounds. They have the weapon they were issued, which are, depending on when you served, anything from an MP5 to an FNFAL. Mm-hmm. And some of them, you know, if you made over sergeant, they're full automatic. I mean, these are machine guns now. And you're issued a weapon and you're issued ammunition and you keep it in your home and it's not in some safe with the ammunition on the other side of the house. These people have their weapons, they have them handy, and they're practiced in them, and it's mandatory. The Swiss are not worried. That's why they've always been neutral, because they're just not worried. You know, it's like, come on, bring it. You know, it's like, what the hell? I mean, why do you think they send the guards down to the Pope? Because they don't sweat this stuff. You know, people think the Swiss Guard with their quote-unquote clown suits, you know, are these ineffectual guys that are just ceremonial. Those sons of guns, don't mess with them.
That's true. No, you're right on that point.
You know, and the Swiss are not worried, but the French are. And the French are starting to, and the Czech Republic and Poland are releasing a lot of their firearms laws.
Right.
They're concerned for their citizenry. Hey,
yep.
It won't take long until Austria and Luxembourg and Belgium and everyone, not
That's
Belgium,
home.
Because
no.
two EU buckets.
Yeah, it's EU.
You know, I see it, and on top of that, here's the thing, and I hesitate. I
Last
do.
Last point,
hesitate,
I want to go on to something. I want to go on to domestic after this. Go ahead.
Well, here I'll give you the segue. I have always been the one when people ask me, oh, you know, you think it's this, you think it's that, you think it's that, nah, come on, you know, this is America, we've got discourse, we've got the vote, the right of the ballot box, the plebiscite, we've got, you know, all this stuff going on, we don't have these problems here, you know, something, I have never, ever cleaned my gun so often as I have in the last 6 months.
I agree with you.
I have never, ever, ever emptied my magazines, oiled them, squared them away, and not only that, but, you know, I've lubricated my ammunition. You know, I mean, I've lubricated my ammunition before, but I haven't used bacon fat before.
There you go. I'd like to point toward a little bit what's going on here with regard to the health care bill in the Senate. Now, as you know, the vote on that bill was delayed because, surprise, surprise, John McCain is in the hospital to get operated on, or has been operated on, for a blood clot. So, but McConnell is saying, that's okay, we'll wait for him to come back. If he does come back.
Well, no. He's waiting for me. Look, I understand the...
they don't have the votes.
Emotional,
they do not have
the emotional protocol.
And I don't want them to have the votes.
I understand the emotional. But, you know, listen, it's the right, you know, right thing to do. They say, oh, well, you know, the Republicans, they're stand-up guys, you know. Well, you know, McCain, you know, war hero, you know, ergo, you know, oh, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You know, come on, you know, respect out of the man and this and anything. Okay, fine. I get it. But he knows that without McCain, they can roll it. This is a political move. This has nothing to do with a humanitarian move. Nothing to do with a humanitarian move. And you know what, Susie? Shut up and sit down. They know that without McCain's definite against vote, there's a shot.
Yeah, but I don't want this to
that
pass.
Enough people on both sides of the aisle, enough people on both sides of the aisle can be brought in and say, let's do this.
I don't think it should be passed, though. I think it's a lousy
bill. I don't believe it should be passed either.
It's
worse than
Obamacare. They're keeping in elements of Obamacare. I want to see them scrap it completely, don't you? Don't you want to see Obamacare?
I feel bad the fact that some, you know, fifth columnist got a hold of, you know, the fact that there was a proviso for Congress, and they assaulted, you know, verbally assaulted Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Over this, when he said, well, you know something, the idea of, you know, rolling our health system, our health plan into whatever we pass, the logistics of it, you know, the legalities of it, considering the fact that the Congressional Health Plan goes back to Roosevelt, you know, the fact that it would be too difficult to try and roll it into one to try and, you know, and so ergo, the fifth column gets a hold of it and says, oh, well, you know, Congress, you know, wants to hold themselves above us.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the it has to do with the fact that what the American people want is they want action and they want it now. They don't want to wait for crap to come up downhill or across the riptide.
No, you're right on that point.
They want it. And as far as I'm concerned, here's my take on it. And if you want it, I don't know if you want it or not, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's just the kind of guy I am.
Of course I do want it. Come on.
The entire god darn thing. Just repeal it.
Exactly. I agree
just
completely.
Just repeal it.
I agree.
I think that the health care in the United States of America should be every bit as free market as the other failure in the United States of America, and that is Amtrak.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that. No, but let's take a look at that point where you're saying free market health care. Yes, and we can get our car insurance, our home insurance. We can go over state lines for that. No problem at all. I used to get my home insurance from a company in Vermont because it was a better price. They had better terms. They had a good record as far as taking care of, different...
My home insurance, we just bought this home back in March.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never in my life been a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I've never owned... So now everybody calls me Squire Lou because I actually own more than an acre. So ergo, you know, the old... English common law term applies. I'm Squire now, you know. So, but my home insurance comes from Omaha, Nebraska.
There you go. It's called open market. Open market. You go and you find
I went
the
online
best price.
And I said, I need home insurance. My home is worth this much. My land is worth this much. You know, who's got the best deal? Omaha, Nebraska. And it's not Mutual of Omaha. Even for all the years I watched Wild Kingdom, it's not
That's
Mutual
right,
of
yeah.
Omaha.
No,
but,
seriously.
You know, but
I agree with you on
that's
that.
For my Now up until recently, my car insurance came from the seat of insurance companies in the United States of America, Hartford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, going to bankruptcy, but that's all right.
Yes. But, well, no, but I mean, every single insurance company in the world lives in Hartford, Connecticut. Well, not anymore, but they used to because they're all moving out. Because Connecticut is about to Connecticut's bond rating is now junk bond status.
Yes, it is. Yep. But if they would just institute that law and a few others. You know. Now, everybody...
Actually,
keeps,
they don't have
but,
to.
But wait a minute. Well, no, they have... Let me tell you something. They can't do that. You cannot go across state lines because of federal mandate.
No. But if they repeal
if
Obamacare...
If they repeal that... Well, it's always been that way, though.
That mandate is gone, and everybody can sell insurance. Fred's insurance company could sell insurance California and... Vermont.
But it was never that way. It was never that way. You could never, ever get your health insurance from another state. Never.
You could buy your health insurance from a local provider that represented a company in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes.
Or Omaha, Nebraska.
But they had to be established in the state. They had to be part of the state insurance organization. They had to apply.
Well, they would.
They had to apply, and a lot of people don't. Problem is,
there are states are states now that have no option. There are
That's
so
right.
many states now that have no option because they pulled out.
That's right.
Well, okay,
Obamacare.
Fine. So was repealed,
there you go. They're going to go back in, of course, because they want to make money, right?
Yeah, that's the free market. That's how it
exactly.
works.
Exactly. So let's see what happens. I am hoping that cooler heads prevail, that they decide just to repeal it and ignore the outcries from people like Nancy Pelosi, who still believes that George Bush is president.
And Maxine Waters, who still believes that Obama's president.
Or something.
And this imposter to the throne.
Paul
and
Ryan?
What's that Jew, his name, that actually brought articles impeachment?
Sherman from California.
Has he read?
Look, in order to be a part of the Democratic Party, you don't have to know how to read. Believe me. You have to be breathing. That's it. Somebody will prop you up in the back, tell you what to say, and as long as you speak the right words.
I don't get it.
Those are Democrats. They don't do anything. They're stupid, Lou. If you're a Democrat, you're stupid.
Listen, I don't believe they're stupid.
Oh, no, I believe they are. Many of them are stupid. Oh, come on, you're talking about Johnson, who's asking the admiral whether or not Guam's going to tip over, for God's sake.
I'll give you that. He's pretty stupid. But I don't believe they're stupid. I believe
no,
that
I believe they're stupid. They're
a lot of things, but stupid. No. But here's the thing. Like Maxine Waters what's the other fellow's name that did not bring the articles of impeachment, but he insisted that they should? What was his name? Stood there and said that the president should be impeached.
I forget. Many of them were coming out in
Alabama or something.
Something, I don't know.
And
so
it's
many
like,
of them are talking.
Did
about this.
You read, have you read the Constitution? Have you read the Bill of Rights? Have you read the Declaration of Independence? Have you read the Federalist Papers? Have you read the founding
documents? No, their Bible is Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. That's what it is. A lot of these people are aging hippies. They were aging hippies. They haven't read anything. They refer to them when they need to make a point. Lou, come on.
I don't want to go here, but I'm going to go anyway.
Go ahead.
Right? Only because, no, come on.
Let's make this quick.
The people who are listening for the very first time who don't know me. All right? You know the three little bones in your ear that are the tiniest bones in your body, the stirrup, the hammer, the whatever it's called? You know, mm-hmm. those three little bones?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You take the littlest one. Mm-hmm. All right, the littlest one, and I don't remember. It's been a long time since eighth grade health class, so I don't remember. Take the littlest one mm-hmm. that's in there, and in me, that bone is not racist.
Okay.
Okay.
So where are you going with this?
My thing is this. When I look at this and say, oh, my God, this is Saul Alinsky, or oh, my God, this is Abby Hoffman, or oh, my God, this is what's-his-name died the other day, wrote the Anarchist Cookbook. You know, and I look at this and I say, this has got nothing to do with reality. Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. When everything is racist, nothing is racist. When everything is xenophobic. Nothing is xenophobic.
It's their way of instilling guilt and thereby trying to instill their control on you. Because all you're going to be doing is standing there going, mea culpa, what can I do to make things better?
Mea maxima culpa.
Yeah. They'll be going, oh, well, you know, you can
Maxine
do this,
Waters.
This.
Maxine Waters lives in a $4 million mansion, not even in her district, and says Ben Carson knows nothing about poverty.
Excuse me, the man grew up.
Or public housing.
In public housing. He grew up so poor, it was unbelievable.
He grew up as a poor boy in public housing. When we look at the fact that Chicago this past weekend had more murders, mm-hmm. incidental, accidental, and in purpose, than the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know.
And it just keeps increasing. And Rahm Emanuel is thinking of running for president.
They line up. and they line up and see, you know, oh my God, Trump, 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 Trump.
That's all they
I'm
have,
like,
though.
Are you literate?
Lou, that's
and
all
I
they
think,
have.
Oh, going back 4.5 minutes, no, they're not literate.
No, they're not. Who said they were? Who said the Dems were? I mean...
Well, you don't get excited because the Republicans aren't either.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. There's a lot of people. But, you know, the one I can't stand the most is Paul Ryan right now. You know, I mean, he's right there with him. So we'll see about
no,
him.
No, I'm sorry.
I think that he is...
Paul Ryan is at least literate. He's a stonad.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe his time is...
His time was over 3 years ago.
I know, it was. It was.
When they had the vote of confidence and they kept him.
Idiots.
And they kept, the Democrat Party kept Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know.
And she was all so glowing, you know, and, oh, you know, the confidence of the party. There's, you know, when people say drain the swamp and don't under, you know, it's like, what do you mean drain the swamp? What do you think we mean?
Mm-hmm.
The hell is this woman? She has, there's 100 screws in the human body and every one of hers are loose.
Definitely. I agree with you on that point.
and then they say,
and
well, maybe it's
on,
time
gets
to.
Worse.
Gets yeah, worse maybe it's that. Time to replace her. So we replace her with Maxine Waters. Yeah, okay, so she's got 99 loose, which means I have 1% less loose screws than Nancy Pelosi. You know, what's that, a commercial?
Yeah, I know.
You know, even Dianne Feinstein came out recently and said, well, you know, I think this is a witch hunt.
Of course it is. She's looking to protect her legacy. Don't forget. Feinstein's looking to protect her legacy.
And then all the stuff going on out there with Governor Moonbat, and he's going to declare a sanctuary state?
Well, like I said, you know, nobody ever said these people were intelligent. You know, they just had good backing. That's all. I really think that's what it is.
That's it. It's the game. It's the political, it's the whole, it's the game. And thank God, thank the gods, thank anything you want to thank. I don't care if you want to thank the wood your noggin is made from.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we've got, you know, the cabinet between Mad Dog Mattis.
Well, yeah, they're doing all right. They're having a tough time,
Jeff Sessions, who I'm sorry, he could be a little bit better in his vocalization.
You do not know what's going on behind the scenes.
Jeff
Sessions was never one person to show his cards. He never was. So I just...
But then they shoot themselves in the feet.
No. You do not know what's coming up.
No, I'm not saying Jeff Sessions. No. My point is, you take a guy that we have been so completely, gloriously admirational of. Somebody who has been a shining star. Somebody we were hoping for either the Supreme Court or, you know, I don't know what we were expecting, but you take a man like, you know, an honorable man, a man I never, ever question his integrity, Jason Chaffetz, and he turns around and says... Well, you know something? We could use $2,500 a month for rent.
Yeah, I know. They get to DC and they get infected. They do.
Yeah, he's either leaving or has left.
He's left
office.
Already. He's gone.
He's gone. Okay. All right. I didn't remember the timeline. Pardon me. But. I know he's going to be a contributor to Fox News now, and that's nice because he'll make that extra $2,500 back real quick. But here's a guy that we held out every... I mean, you know what?
Maybe
candles in the wind.
Couldn't take it anymore, Lou.
No. He said he needed to spend time with his family.
Well,
I understand that. You know, but You know, it costs money to live in D.C., ergo we need $2,500 a month big for, you know, housing. And I'm like, you just, look, CNN, MSNBC, the mainstream media, lamestream media, whatever you want to call them, you know, the faux media, the fifth column, whatever you want to call them. You know, it's one thing when they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's another thing when you give them something.
Wait a minute. When aren't they lying?
Well, no. But what I'm saying, let's break this down. It's one thing when they're lying. It's another thing when they've got a story,
mm-hmm.
but they're shooting blanks.
True.
It's another thing when you give them live ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Chaffetz, for as much as we love, honor, adore, honor, revere, whatever, because he on the Ways and Means Committee and on the Oversight Committee and all these other things he's been a part of, has been a bull for the American people.
Turns around, well, you need
something like. But he's leaving the swamp. It's not like.
I would
he's
going to
be there for 5 years.
You don't know. You don't know what goes through a person's mind. You know, I just wish him the best of luck. And, you know, we just have to soldier on. And hopefully, you know, we'll get people in there who will remember the American people and not become tied
heart,
to the swamp.
His heart is in the right place. He has had the American people's
right.
heart.
But, you know,
in
everybody makes
heart.
Their own decisions, Lou. I don't see why we're belaboring the point. I mean, the man decided to leave. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, the other ones.
No. That wasn't where. That wasn't where I was going.
Well, hurry up.
That wasn't. I'm fine. You know. Jeez, guineas. My point wasn't whether or not, you know, all those things. My point was, he on his way out gave them live ammo. He could have said. Well, you know something, I'm tired of sleeping in my office. No, I'm not in Maine anymore, and everybody either knows that or they're about to know it now. I'm not in Maine anymore. I'm in Pennsylvania, so it's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in Maine, Bruce Poliquin was not my senator.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But Bruce Poliquin from Maine lives and has lived in his office on a cot every day he's been in D.C., and of course he goes back and forth to Maine, you know, does what he has to do. But he lives, he's got a cot
mm-hmm.
in his office, and he lives there. And he goes to the Y, and he showers, or the Congressional Office Building, and he showers, and he goes to the Congressional Cafeteria,
showers.
And he eats,
showers.
And he...
Hey, that Congressional... Huh? Don't let them fool you. That cafeteria there is one of the best in D.C., restaurants.
Oh, no. I've been there. I've been near there. And I understand. It's not like you're eating, you know, Mickey D's here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you know, I've been to the mess facilities in different places in D.C. and said, oh, my God, I couldn't afford to buy this. I get it. But the idea is that he lives in his office. Susan Collins doesn't live in her office. You know, when you look at this and say, you know, I need $2,500 a month. Well, he just gave them live ammo.
Well.
Let them shoot blanks. Let them pull facts out of the air. Let them make up fake news. Let them do this, that, and the other thing. Just don't give them anything to shoot at you with. You know, when I was in the Army, every piece of equipment had a clip, a little semicircular clip. And if you were being overrun, you took a thermite grenade that came with every piece of equipment, you put it in a clip,
right.
And you pulled the pin and you walked away. And it destroyed the same piece of every equipment, so they couldn't take three or four of them and
right.
say, okay, we got this part, that part, the other part. You don't give them any reason, any method to hurt you back. And he did.
Oh, I don't think he did. Why? Just because he wanted $2,500 a month for...
Oh, well, you know, those Republicans, those Republicans need to live high on the hog. You know, they're out of touch with the American people. They need, you know, $2,500 a month. Most people's mortgages are more.
I don't think that's going to make any difference. No, I mean, he's gone. If he was still there, then they can say, oh, you know, and harass him. But he's gone now. And we have other things to worry about. And I really think that the healthcare thing is going to be more important right now, because the senators and the representatives are getting a lot of pressure from their constituents.
Well, I believe sides of the aisle. In the 28th Amendment. I believe in the 28th Amendment. Congress shall pass no law that they are not subject to the same extent as the people to whom they represent.
Yeah, that's strange, since Obamacare wasn't applicable to Congress now, was it? We'll see.
Obamacare, look. Let's just go back to one simple fact. And this raises the same issue over and over, and it rests squarely on the former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. We have to pass it so we can read it.
Yeah, I know. I swear to God, that has to be one of the most inane sentences I have ever heard in my life. Honestly.
It is the single most anathema to the founding of America that I have ever heard.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It describes Congress and the swamp. It does. That's, I don't know. But anyway, you know what, folks? We're going to have to start winding this up.
When we get right down to it, you want to talk anathema to the way things are done. All this grief with Donald Jr. Mm-hmm. over a woman was overridden for a bad visa under extenuating circumstances by the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch.
That's true.
And people say, oh, you know, he met with her. Yeah, he met with her. It lasted, what, 15, 18 minutes?
Yeah,
you know, some people say 15, some people say 20.
Yeah.
You know, and it turned out to be about, you know, the lifting the restrictions on Russian
adoptions and stuff.
Adoptions. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, she had meetings with other people that she was filmed at.
Mm-hmm. And they were Dems.
And it turn around and it's like, oh, you know, Donald Trump Jr. met with this woman. But that woman was brought in. I mean, Loretta Lynch in that regard is every bit as guilty as Donna Brazile for giving the questions to Hillary Clinton.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And nobody's paying any attention to this.
No, of course not.
In the fifth column. Nobody.
They don't want to pay any attention to that. They have a story to tell. They want to destroy Trump. And all their efforts are now focused on that. It's not working. I'm telling you right now. It is not working.
And now Joe Scarborough.
Joe Scarborough
says, well, you know, I've been a Republican, but I'm leaving the Republican Party. Thank God.
He was never a Republican. So did Susan Collins. Not even when he was in Congress, he was never a Republican.
These
idiots.
It's like
they're
and Susan Collins and John McCain, you know, get out of our way. Lindsey Graham, get out of our way.
Exactly.
As a Republican, until he insulted my wife, you know, yeah, you know what? And everybody talks about whether or not Melania Trump wore the correct color to somebody's wedding.
Oh, who cares? Yeah, I
know. And, you know, they've got pictures of Mika Brzezinski with her legs up in the air on a piano and,
Or a table, like, or something. I forget what it was, yeah.
Or a table, whatever it was. I don't know. You know, she was very vampy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sorry, you know me as a fashionista. I thought skirt could have been an inch.
You're either a journalist or you're a slut, okay? Can't be both.
No, you can be both in this day and age.
Oh, come on. Yeah, well, that really makes sense.
You know what to say in this day and age? You're a journalist means you're a slut.
Oh, okay. I never thought of it that way. All right. No, but I mean, just her that posture was so suggestive, and it was really off the mark, and it really was And I saw that photograph and I just said, oh, come on. You really want me to take you seriously? You know, I mean, just like I no longer take Megyn Kelly seriously. Because, you know, well, after her thing for Vanity Fair, or Esquire, I mean, you know, that's another one. It's like, oh, for heaven's sake.
No. Let me go back on.
Lou. Okay, listen, Lou, Lou, I'm going to have to wrap this up. Got to wrap
Why?
It up. Because I got things to do.
Oh, yeah, so do I. All right. Well, with that in mind, then you know something, boys and girls, I think we're going to have to get back, and we're going to have to get back on a stick. Or we're going to have to go more than once every other week or whatever it is. I think we do have software in the works that may actually give us video. You know, well, I know we've been promising a lot of technological differences in the last couple of years, but you know something? I'm actually working on it. Why? 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 You might ask. are you going to ask? Or are you going to wait?
Why?
Oh, okay. There you go.
Oh, what?
Because now that we're available, not just on iTunes and RSS, but now that we're available on Minds and Kadias and Facebook and Twitter and Gab AI and all these other venues.
God, we're all over the place. Jeez.
Oh, yeah, like fly stuff.
Wow.
And thank you, our friends, because you've been promoting us and you've been retweeting us and reminding us. And
thank you. Appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, thank you. We can't thank you enough. And those of you who comment, thank you ever so much because you are a driving force. We do read what you tell us. Of course, sometimes we ignore you.
Do you ignore them?
Some people are pain in the ass. You know, but anyway.
They say things that are that bad? You're not telling me? Well, what do I need to know here?
No, I'm being facetious.
Oh, okay.
You know, no, but, I mean, you know, we do read
Let me
our
him.
Comments.
Let me at them.
Our likes and our dislikes. You know, come on, we do. We're human. You know, we're human. Mm-hmm. May not like it, but we at least face it.
Right.
And that's an important thing. You know, if you don't tell us, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We're talking to ourselves here. We're as bad as the liberals. We're living in a vacuum bubble. And it's like, no, come on. You know, talk to us. And that's a good thing.
Yep. I agree with
follow
you.
Follow us.
Yes.
Yes, follow us.
Send us a message.
You know, talk to us. You know, I'm sorry. I love Anne-Marie to death. But, you know, sometimes I just want to hear from somebody else.
Gee, Lou, you just made my day.
What?
You just made my day, Lou.
I ruined your day. What?
You just made my day.
Oh, I made your day.
No, yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Well, you know, the idea being, you know, look, we're out here.
Oh, geez.
You know, look, are we polished and professional like some of the other pundits? And
I don't have the money to be professional. I'm sorry. I don't have the money.
Well, no, you know, it's what we do, but it's not, you know, I mean, look, I'm a chief engineer. You know, you're a Russian linguist. You know, I mean, are we professionals? No, but do we have an opinion?
No. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Believe me. Let me just tell you something right now. I believe I know more than a lot of people in Congress on what is going on in the world, especially with Russia. So, and I mean that seriously.
Oh, well.
I mean, this is.
No, I.
This is what I've been studying.
I'm not going to counter you on that because you do. You know, I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Soviet Union is still the Soviet Union and the KGB is still the KGB, and, you know, that's all there is to it. You know, the Politburo is still the Politburo. You know, I mean, and we didn't even North Korea this time. So you know something? That means we're gonna have to come up with another one, and we're gonna have. What's today?
Today is the 17th.
That doesn't help me. What day is it?
Monday.
So sometime this week we're gonna make another one, and I'm gonna ignore the fact that I'm trying to talk, and Anne-Marie's sitting there rocking back and forth with her cat.
He came over to me. Oh, come on.
Of course.
He's my kitty cat.
He's a cat.
He's my kitty cat.
He wants something. You know he wants something.
Sure. And this is what he wants. He wants to be pet and loved and hugged and called George. That's an old Bugs Bunny thing, remember?
You old Bugs Bunny. Yeah. In the meantime, I feel bad. Debbie's BFF.
Okay, then we'll wind this up. People, thank you, Debbie's, everyone. Thank you,
Debbie's
thank
you. If anybody has so offer, Debbie's BFF has a pooch who is theoretically, anyway, a Labrador who has a significant. She's only 4 or 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And she has major kidney failure and probably will not last the day. So if you have prayers that are oriented to Rainbow Bridge, you know, we all, you know, the way we feel about our pets. And anyhow, that is it, May. Yeah, so what do you have to say for yourself, Amory?
My gosh. Well, look, folks, just keep reading. Keep paying attention. Keep your critical thinking skills up. Don't let people sway you, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take over your life. They are. They are. That's what the liberals want to do. Other than that, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun.
Most. Yes, indeed.
I want everybody to remember, though, as we go through the rest of the summer, that and you're enjoying summer, just think about why you're able to enjoy your summer. There are people, men and women right now, over in Afghanistan and throughout other parts of the world that are helping keep us safe so you can enjoy yourself. So just think about them once in a while. Just think about them.
How does that go? The one song, and I you know me, I'm not big on either kind of music.
Country or Western, I know. What song?
Right. The song where he says, so my brother, my mother, my brother, my sister, and me could wake up in the land of the free, or whatever, how that goes. Mm-hmm. Or we could sleep soundly in the land of the free, you know. So, yeah, I don't care where you live. I don't care what you believe. You know, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have the opportunity to believe that. And that's an important little thing, especially for those of you who believe that we're wrong and we're wrong and we're wrong. And when we're not wrong, we're wrong. You know what? Go to another country and tell them they're wrong. And decide how that works out for you.
Exactly. I agree.
So, but again, follow us. Yeah, follow us, please. No matter which venue you choose, platform you use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look.
And if you don't want to follow us, well, that's fine. You know, that just means that we're right and you're an idiot. What? No, because
us doesn't mean that they're idiots. That's okay. They can disagree with us. They don't have to follow us. I don't follow a lot of people.
Oh, no. They can disagree with us. I'm okay with them disagreeing with us. But if they're going to act like that, then they're an idiot. You know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that one. Okay, folks. So anyway, listen, next time join us for another edition of Political QRM. Hopefully we'll be getting another issue out next week at the latest. Maybe, depending on actually what happens this week, we might be getting one out soon. Yeah, but we still have to get this one out and edited and before we could do another one. We drive the producer crazy.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know. So thank you, folks, for being here, for listening, and we will get back to you next time. And Lou?
Like us, follow us, and please comment, no matter which platform you use, and if all else fails, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.